I'm Banakin Munshi, and today we are going to cover chapter 5, which is on supply chain planning and sourcing. So what are the learning objectives? Understand the need for demand forecasting in rural environment. Learn about considerations for demand forecasting in rural context. Know various tools and techniques used for demand forecasting. Understand the concept of inventory and the elements of inventory management. Understand different ways of addressing inventory management, like describing the key factors to consider when undertaking the strategy sourcing and procurement in rural areas, and know various types of negotiation techniques. So what is the need for demand forecasting? Demand forecasting in rural settings refers to the process of predicting the future demand for goods, services, or resources in rural areas. This is done by using historical data, trends, and various forecasting techniques to estimate the need of rural population for specific products or services. So as we have discussed in some of the previous chapters, you can look at the historical data, how during the year, how the demand has been fluctuating, whether it is seasonal, whether it is connected to festivals, etc. So these trends can also be a pointer for the future demand. In rural settings, demand forecasting can be more challenging than in urban areas due to factors like lower population density, limited infrastructure, seasonal variability, cultural and social factors. So lower population density, what happens is there is a in a larger urban setting, the averaging of the demand can happen. But when the population is smaller, any change in the behavior of the population can have a major impact. Limited infrastructure, because as compared to the urban area, the infrastructure in a rural setting has its own limitations, as we have discussed in the previous chapters. Seasonal variability, because again, the urban areas will have an averaging factor, whereas in a rural setting, any seasonal or festival impact will be more profound, and cultural and social factors will also have an impact on the demand. So what are the considerations for demand forecasting? Let's go into each of them one by one. So comprehending the rural markets, sparse population distribution, fluctuating income levels, and inadequate infrastructure. So we already said that because the population is sparse, it can have a more profound effect due to any seasonal or economic developments. Fluctuating income levels. So you find that in a rural setting, if the income levels are increasing or reducing, it can have a major impact on the demand. So if the income levels are increasing, it is favorable. The other way, it is non-favorable. And inadequate infrastructure, I don't need to explain that. Data gathering. So surveys and interviews, mobile technology, local market observations, and government and NGO reports. So these are some of the things which can be relied upon as far as the data gathering is concerned. Models for forecasting. So quantitative models, time series analysis, regression models. So here you are looking at the seasonality. At the same time, you're looking at the trend. Trend in terms of if you find that the markets are growing, then you can understand and you can project based on the regression models that there will be a growth in the future. And the time series will tell you if it has any impact of seasonality, of festivals, like we saw the example even in the case of school. So whenever there is a post-summer reopening of the schools, there is a increase in demand for books, exercise books, textbook, etc., as compared to the rest of the year. So these are part of the time series analysis. The second one is the qualitative model, where you are depending on expert judgment, who will actually analyze many more factors and arrive at a decision of what the demand would be like. Seasonality and external influences. So we saw that there are agricultural cycles. We know that agricultural produce all have a seasonal cycle. There are some produces which are harvested in the winter season, some which are in the summer season, and each kind of a crop has a different cycle. Impact of climate change and weather conditions. So even we know that there are climate changes happening, there are unseasonal rains. So these also can have an impact on the demand in the market. Cultural and religious celebration. So we talked about festivals. When the festival falls, and you know that there are certain festivals which are not based on the English calendar. They are based on the Hindu calendar or the lunar calendar, as we call it. So there, the demand will be based on the lunar calendar. And of course, government regulations, because if government regulations prohibit some kind of material or some practices, etc. For example, if certain type of insecticide, pesticides, they are regulated, that means you cannot use them, then this can also impact the outcome of the crop, etc. Regulations even in terms of marketability of the products if they are produced by a certain method. Technology and innovation. So Internet of Things and agricultural sensors. So these are also contributing to the demand. Supply chain integration and artificial intelligence. The other point is collaboration with local stakeholders, engagement with the community, cooperatives and agricultural associations. So these can also help in predicting the demand for the produce that a rural establishment is producing. So what are the considerations for the demand forecasting? And what are the challenges in the rural demand forecasting? And we are specifically talking of rural demand forecasting as compared to the urban areas. One, insufficient data access. In urban areas, many a times, a lot of structured data is available in terms of the consumption or the demand data. In rural areas, this is not available because many of the transactions are not recorded. You don't find recorded transactions, etc., from where the data can be accessed or collected. Cultural obstacles. So many a times the cultural obstacles prevent you from gathering the right kind of a demand. Variable infrastructure, things like the power supply, the supply of water, droughts, floods. So these can also affect how the demand will vary. Market disparity, impact of other markets on a particular produce vis-a-vis the produce from your own market. So many a times it can so happen that your produce may not be very competitive, and thus the disparity can also affect the demand of your produce. Or your produce is also competing in the market with produce from other regions or other rural areas, which makes it a little difficult to predict the demand. So practical uses of demand forecasting, agriculture and inputs. Agriculture in the sense that if you know that pulses, etc., the demand is growing, then farmers can actually plan what they plan to grow in the fields. Also the inputs, because they need to purchase the inputs and they need to sow the crops at particular time depending upon the kind of crop that they plan to grow. Retail and consumer goods. So if they are supplying retail goods, consumer goods, then the demand forecasting also has to follow the retail demand or the consumer demands. Healthcare, naturally. So let's look at some of the considerations for demand forecasting. What are the challenges in rural demand forecasting? One, insufficient data access. Many a times there is not sufficient data available for demand forecasting for the rural areas. The second is the cultural obstacles. So unlike the urban areas where the demand is more clearly defined, in the rural areas, the definition of demand may not be that clear. Third aspect is the variable infrastructure. So you may have the infrastructure which is highly unpredictable in terms of the availability of power, water, the natural disasters like drought, floods, etc., which can also make it very difficult for demand forecasting, and market disparity. Also, there could be competition from other markets for the products which are being marketed by a rural economy. So these make it challenging for demand forecasting when we are in a rural setup. So what are the practical uses of demand forecasting? This is to plan the agriculture and the inputs. So what crop to actually cultivate and what inputs to be deployed, like right from the seeds to fertilizers to everything. So these depend upon the demand forecasting, the retail and consumer goods demand. What is the demand from the healthcare industry and also from the energy sector? So these actually can be driven based on the demand forecasting. So in summary, successful demand forecasting in rural areas necessitates an integration of both quantitative and qualitative approach. Quantitative is, as we saw, in terms of trends and past patterns, and qualitative could be more in terms of the expert view and the Delphi analysis. So these approaches alongside local insight and contemporary technology. So by recognizing the distinct features of rural markets and utilizing accessible data resources, both businesses and governmental entities can enhance their supply chain effectiveness, basically predicting the demand more accurately. So devise more informed interventions and promote the welfare of rural communities. So tools and techniques used for demand forecasting. Demand forecasting involves predicting the future demand for goods and services, or goods or services, utilizing a range of techniques and tools to enhance the precision. So these techniques are generally divided into, we have already seen this, qualitative and quantitative methods. The selection of a particular technique is frequently influenced by the data available. So where you have past data, trends, seasonality available, you can base it on that. Where there are experts available and past data is not that reliable, then you can go for the qualitative methods. So the nature of the business and the characteristics of the product or service being projected will dictate what technique you will be using. So we'll look at the qualitative technique for demand forecasting, where again we have the hybrid technique and the quantitative techniques. So qualitative technique, these techniques are used when historical data is unavailable. Qualitative techniques. So these techniques are used when historical data is unavailable. So as we saw, if you do not have a documented data of past demand or past consumption, then you have to go for the expert view or expert judgment. So forecasting is required for new products or markets. They rely on expert judgment. And this is true that for existing products, you can still rely on past data. But what happens when you are actually trying to predict for a new product, a product which is yet to be introduced in the market? So again, here, it will be the expert knowledge which comes into play. So they rely on expert judgment, intuition, and market knowledge. So what are the factors for qualitative techniques? One is expert judgment, Delphi method, Market research. So market research basically looks at what is the kind of a demand or what is the kind of a need for the kind of product that you are introducing. Salesforce composite, that means what the Salesforce feedback tells you about the need for the innovation that you're trying to introduce in the market. And focus groups. So you may have a focus group of consumers who are basically tested, you know, to see whether the features that you are trying to introduce interest them and what do they feel about the utility of those features. Coming to the quantitative techniques. So these methods are historical data to predict future demand. Quantitative forecasting is most useful when significant amount of historical data is available and the demand pattern is relatively stable. So these include time series analysis or what we call as the moving average, weighted moving average, and exponential smoothing and autoregressive integrated moving average. So these data require data availability for a couple of years to see a repetitive pattern, because you cannot predict this simply based on 1 year or 2 years of data. Regression analysis, which basically tells you what is the kind of a trend, and causal models. Then, of course, there are hybrid techniques. So sometimes combining the qualitative and the quantitative techniques provides a better forecasting result. So you are using both the expert judgment along with the past historical data. So sometimes even because of technological reasons, etc., you can find that the demand can either go up or down. So, and this is where you can use the hybrid technique. So this is especially useful when data is limited or when there are significant market shifts. Like I said, there are technological shifts, etc. So there you may have to use a hybrid method. So these includes cross-validation and machine learning models. So some of the tools which are used for demand forecasting, let's go through them one by one. So spreadsheet software, you have certain software or certain tools which can be built or which are built into Excel or Google Sheets. There are statistical software like R, Python, and there are some more software also, where you can feed the past data and then you can try and fix various statistical models and find out which model is most accurate based on the historical data. The same you can use for predicting the future demand. Forecasting software. So within SAP, there are certain forecasting modules which can also be used in SAP as well as in Oracle. So they are modules which are already available, which analyzes the past data and predicts, based on statistical modeling, the future requirement. Advanced analytical platform. So these are offered by people like IBM, SPSS, and SAS. So again, these are using the historical data and trying to predict the future requirement. Again, here the platform basically tries to fit the best statistical model which can predict the past performance, and if it can predict the past performance based on the early data, then it feels that it can predict the future also based on the same algorithm. Cloud-based platform. So you have Google Cloud, AI, Azure Machine Learning, etc. So these also can be used for the demand forecasting. And ERP system. So here, Microsoft Dynamics, NetSuite. But again, when we talk of SAP and Oracle, etc., these are also ERP systems. So all these can be used for the demand forecasting. And I think there are many ERP systems. All of them offer this demand forecasting. Plus, there are some specialized softwares and platforms which can help you to recognize the statistical model that your demand follows based on the past consumption, and it can help you predict the future. Data visualization tools. So there are tools which also visualize the data. That means graphically represent the data, which gives you an idea of how the consumption has been fluctuating. So even visually, you can identify how the consumption has been moving, helping you to conclude how the demand may fluctuate in future. So you have Tableau and Power BI, which are some of the tools which can use. There are collaboration tools such as Slack or Microsoft Teams or Google Workspace. So collaboration tools, basically these are meeting tools where you can have a collective discussion and collective wisdom being put together to actually sense or even collate the data. So let us say that you are trying to predict the demand over a period of time. What you can do is you can, from different geographical regions, try to collate the information, and once you consolidate it, you will get a overall picture of how the demand is likely to move. Of course, many times this kind of effort can give you slightly misleading results, as we have seen in the industry, because we have tried similar kind of move, and sometimes it can give you results which are either too high or too low. IoT and sensor data. So we've already seen this. I talked about certain companies using the infrared satellite imagery, to predict the yield of a crop, etc. So Internet of Things and sensor data can also predict, what is the crop is going to be like. And you also have the demand numbers from the market. So you can actually find out here, it's more about supply and demand. So you can sense, how the market is going to be, whether it is going to be a seller's market or a buyer's market, which can help you, finalize your strategy. Market research tools, things like SurveyMonkey or Qualtrics, etc. So here you can do a market survey on a select group of people. So people can give their inputs on what they feel about the demand going forward, which can be captured. So, tools used for demand forecasting. In summary, demand forecasting can be executed through a range of methodologies, which include straightforward qualitative approaches, as well as intricate quantitative and machine learning models. So we have seen the various tools which are available for demand forecasting. The selection of tools will be influenced by the intricacy of your forecasting requirement. So also the industry or the supply chain that you're working with, and the intricacies will decide what tool you should be using, because how complex it is or how simple it is will also dictate the tool which can be used. How many parameters are going to really affect the forecasting? So in very complex cases, there could be a number of factors, right from the weather conditions, seasons. Like, for example, if you're selling woolen clothing, the winter conditions, the temperatures, etc., can dictate, when people will start buying the winter clothing and how strong the winter will be. So it all depends on the industry that we are dealing with. By effectively combining appropriate techniques and tools, you can enhance the precision of your forecast and facilitate improved decision making. So whole effort is basically how to improve the accuracy of your forecast. As we have seen in the earlier chapters, more accurate the forecast, more optimum will be the operations, and you are geared to meet the market demand without stocking out. At the same time, you will not land into a situation where you will be carrying huge inventories, which will be blocking your working capital. So this is the significance of getting your forecasting or your demand planning right. So let's come to the inventory concepts. Inventory may be defined as a usable but idle resource. Inventory management is the job done for maintaining the stocks. So basically, inventory means the stocks that you are holding. And as the statement mentions here, it is usable material, but which is lying idle. And mind you, inventory is money because you are paying for that stocks that you are holding. You're purchasing the stock, the raw material from the supplier, or if it's a manufactured item and you're keeping it in stock, you have invested in the raw material, plus the labor, plus the manufacturing cost, plus the overheads, plus you are incurring cost of maintaining the or holding the inventory, which means there is also the warehousing cost, etc. So it is a usable but idle resource. Traditionally, companies maintain generous inventory levels to meet long-term demand because there were fewer competitors and products in a protected market environment. In India also, we have seen that we used to have a license raj until 1992, and there were few companies making the products, and these companies, whatever they manufactured, would get sold. Today, it is not so. We have a wide range of products to choose from, and people will choose that product which best meets their requirement. So in the good old days, people used to just produce the material and keep it with the assurance that it will get sold. The main objective of inventory management is to balance the demand and supply. The demand and supply are managed through inventory management because you don't want to produce too much and keep it in inventory because it's blocking your capital, your working capital, and you don't want to produce too little so that you will stock out and miss on the opportunity because it's a business opportunity lost. A customer comes to buy your product. If he doesn't find your product, he will buy an alternate product of a competition, which is a business loss. So what are the examples of inventory? Nursery has inventory of different plants, trees, and flowers. Very clearly understood. A flour or atta producing company keeps inventory such as grains, types of machinery, spare parts, and other ingredients. Mainly grains and machinery spare parts. Many of us think of inventory as final product waiting to be held, to be sold to a retail customer, a can of tomatoes, or a bulk of palm sugar. This is certainly one of its most important uses. So, yes, the finished product is inventory, but that is not the only inventory because even the raw material, like for example, if you're, let's say, buying tomatoes, and you have the raw tomatoes in your stock, that is also inventory. Or if there are any other materials that are waiting for the production process, for the manufacturing process, they are also inventory. Even material which is in process, that means which is partly produced and waiting for the next operation, is also inventory, which is what we call as work in progress. So, however, especially in manufacturing firms, inventory can take on forms besides finished goods, including raw material, which we talked about, purchase parts and components, work in process, which we just discussed, pipeline inventory, spare parts. So, spare parts may not be used into manufacturing, but they are, you know, for maintenance of the equipment which are used in manufacturing. Consumables. So consumables may be certain things which are consumed, like for example, lubricants. Lubricants are not spare parts, but lubricants are necessary for the smooth running of the operations. Or fuels. So you have, let's say, furnace oil or diesel, which are used to run the diesel generator. So these are all consumables. So the inventory will comprise of all these things: raw material, purchase parts, components, work in progress or process, spare parts, consumables, operating supplies, and finished goods. So let's come to the inventory concepts. inventory system. So any inventory system will have the following elements. One, lead time. What is the lead time? Lead time is the interval between the placement of an order and the delivery of the material. So for example, there is a raw material. You place an order and then it's going to come within 2 weeks or after 2 weeks. So then lead time is 2 weeks. It's the time you place the order till the time you receive the material in your premises. So it's a measure of the logistical performance, and variation in lead time are one of the most difficult logistical problems, because it's easier said than done. You know, I mean, the supplier may tell you that, okay, I will supply the material within 2 weeks. But the real thing is that sometimes that 2 weeks can become 3 weeks, or sometimes it can be 1.5 weeks. Problem is, if it becomes 3 weeks, then you have a problem, because you may actually stock out. Reorder level. So a reorder point or reorder level is the inventory level at which an order should be placed to replenish the inventory. So typically the reorder level is the lead time into the average usage. So let us say that you are using a particular raw material or a component at the rate of 100 pieces per week, and your lead time is 2 weeks. That means in 2 weeks, the lead time is 2 weeks, you are going to use 200 pieces. So your reorder level in this case will be 200. That means when you reach a level of 200, you should be releasing an order for replenishing the stock with the full quantity, so that, you know, again, your inventory will become the maximum quantity that you have defined. So if safety stock is present, now we'll come to what is safety stock also as we go ahead. So if safety stock is present, then your reorder level formula changes. Then it will be safety stock plus your lead time consumption. So what we saw in this particular case was the lead time consumption was 200 pieces, because we said that 100 components are consumed per week and the lead time is 2 weeks. So that means 200 pieces should be my reorder level. So my inventory reaches 200 pieces, I should be releasing the order. But the example that I gave, that suppose the lead time becomes 3 weeks. For some reason, the supplier is unable to supply within 2 weeks and he takes 3 weeks. Then you will stock out. So in such a case, you will say that I'm going to hold a safety stock. And let's say the safety stock is 1 more week of stock. So 1 more week of stock is 100. So here the reorder level become safety stock, which is 100, plus the lead time consumption, which is 200. So that means now my reorder level becomes 300. So when my stock reaches 300, automatically a order will be triggered on the supplier to say, please supply X quantity immediately.